And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. My name is Dr. June. I'm one of your co-hosts. We started this program to bring the voice of overseas Christianity to the Western world. Our program airs every Thursday at 6 p.m. here at 91.5 FM WAPN, Holy Hill, Florida, and 91.7 FM WAPB, Madison, Florida. You can visit our website at www.truthtowellness.com. We are now in Season 3, bringing you the Word of God from the perspective of our overseas teaching. We are currently discussing fear and faith with Dr. T, which we will get to right after the song.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all the world.
Welcome to part one of our fear and faith discussion. This is going to be a multi-part series. I want to, as I mentioned in the last program when we were introducing this new series, I want to talk about fear and faith because I believe that the two are often misunderstood. I believe that very often here in the Western world, we have a different perspective of word faith and fear than what we have overseas. I got triggered to look into this material when I was overseas, and we were on our way to a church that was underground, and I could sense what the government was trying to do there is really use fear to stop the Christians from meeting or to have them meet in a way that they wanted. And then, as we were driving, the Lord spoke very clearly to me and said, if you have no fear, the devil has no access to you. And I mentioned this last time in the introduction because it was so profound in my heart. And I started looking into it. And the more I started looking into it, the more I started realizing just how deep this statement is. I think that many people have a misconception of fear. Many people believe that fear is somehow respect towards God, that being fearful means that we are the kind of people that God likes us to be quiet and fearful and doing what everybody else says. That is not really what the Bible says. And here in the U.S., we're fairly good with that. We understand that is not the way to please God, although there are many countries in the West that is still considered to be the proper code of behavior. The fact is just the opposite. Fear, or otherwise known in science as a phobia, is the driving force of many of the problems that we have. It often is the driving force of racism. And if you find, for example, that you just have a different feeling for people from different countries or people who have different color, that comes from phobia. That is actually an internal process driven by fear. There are other types of phobia, some make sense and some don't. But they have one thing in common, and that is they often affect our behavior. For those who believe that fear, phobia, is a religious way of living and walking around, they often find problems with scripture, such as when David was loved by God and Saul was rejected, and yet Saul appears to have been much more afraid. David, on the other hand, went against Goliath with five stones. So very often in scripture, you will actually see that the scripture points out very consistently that fear is not the way that we can please God. So why is this the case? Well, I'm going to look at different aspects of it, and in this part we're just going to compare the two. For one, fear is often pessimistic. Now, some amount of fear is healthy, but certain amount of fear above the natural instinctive one is often detrimental to us. For example, if I'm going to go and fly in an aircraft, this is not a natural course of action. So very often I may, in fact, be a little bit apprehensive going into an aircraft. Now, in my case, I'm a pilot, so this is not necessarily an issue. However, for many people, that is an issue. That doesn't mean that is dangerous. Very often, the message that fear gives to us is not true or correct. In fact, we know from many of the studies, this is undisputed, that flying with a passenger aircraft is safest mode of transportation. It's safer than you driving or taking a bus or taking a train. And that really means that if I'm going to fly from here to, let's say, Europe or Asia or Africa, I am probably going to take most of my risk driving to the airport as opposed to taking it in the plane. Nonetheless, I may be more afraid of flying than I am of driving to the airport. So there are other elements involved with fear, including how familiar I am with what's happening, how often I have done it, and the background knowledge that I have towards it. So very often when I find that somebody is afraid of flying, for example, I explain to them how the planes work and that it's actually the wings that hold us up, not the engines. Engines just give us forward momentum, which we can also get from gravity, which is otherwise known as gliding. So fear has this pessimistic side that's related to our knowledge level. Gaining more knowledge, as in going to university or learning to fly, often will get rid of the natural fears that we have. But the fear also has a spiritual connotation and spiritual element, which is counteracted by faith. This is the kind of fear that you're not going to get out through education. You're not going to get it out by going to university. Although university may give you some critical thinking skills, nonetheless, this is the kind of fear that is embedded much deeper in our psyche. And in fact, it is, in my opinion, not the psyche, but in the spirit. So for that, we go to the spiritual source to understand it. And for example, the best starting point that I can think of is Hebrews 11:1, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Essentially meaning, I'm going to be trusting my belief structure. I'm going to trust what I know to be true and what I'm told is true from the Bible, as opposed to trusting my eyes or my feelings. That drives us, together with the message of the Bible, towards optimism. In other words, we know that God is looking after us. We know we are well looked after. That is very important. So, whereas faith is optimistic, fear is pessimistic, suggesting that this is one axiom or one contingency variable that has two ends to it. That's how we would actually call it in scientific terms. Nonetheless, what it is you either have faith or you have fear. It's the opposite ends of the same pole, if you will. So that would follow that fear is human, it's earthly, and that faith is heavenly, and it comes from above as a gift. And yes, that's exactly what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, this may refer to grace being the gift of God, but it is through faith, which is also being given to us as the gift of God. This idea that we are given faith as a gift is also confirmed in Romans 12, verse 3, where it says, "For I say through grace given to me, to everyone who is amongst you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So here we can see that faith is actually a gift that's given to us by God. Also, we know that we are meant to live by and walk through faith and not through fear. In 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." In fact, there are many, many sources in Scripture. If you want to do a search, you can see all the different places the word faith is used and all the implications it has in the life of a Christian. Now, this is important when we talk about fear, because it says in Psalm 56:3, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." And this is also what we see in many situations we'll talk about later, that Jesus pointed at his disciples towards. This shows us that fear is a lack of trust in God, that is very often more of trust in men or our own ability to do things. Fear is very important to understand, because fear is actually the driving or instrumental force in driving the law or legalism. If you take a look at legalistic situations, if you take a look at the law of the land, if you take a look at religions, and most of them, including many Christian churches that are very legalistic, you will see that it is the fear that's the driving force. You will find out very often people preaching, sulfur and brimstone, the hell kind of messages. They're all based on fear. And that is not what we are actually called to do. I hate to say to all of those who like to preach that, that's not what we're called to do. Yes, it has an effect on people, but that's not the effect you want to have. The effect you want to have is to point them towards God and faith that is in God alone, not to scare them out of hell, essentially, so that they come to church because they are afraid of going to hell. That is not the way to get the Christians in a spirit and the attitude that you want the church to be in. And this is why many of those churches will have issues, will have people interfering with the church, will have pastors will have headaches. And they wonder why. Well, you just converted people based on the physical. You use the physical fear. You use the earthly to convert them, and then you wonder why they're not spiritual. It's amazing, you know, how many times I see things done like that. That is not what God means for us. God wants us to walk by faith. This is the driving force for spirituality. Without faith, it's not possible to please God, says the Word of God. And it is true. We cannot please Him without faith. If we're without faith, that means we have fear. And it's either one or another. You do not and cannot walk in both. I'd like to also touch on another aspect of fear-faith relationship, and that is that faith is not stationary. It is the intention that God shows in the Bible for us as Christians to grow in faith, to grow from faith to faith. In Romans 1:16, you read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Now, what many people don't realize is what the next verse says. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Notice here, from faith to faith. That shows us that we not only have the growth, but there are different types of faith. And I will touch on that later, because in Hebrews 11:6, it actually talks more clearly about what it means to have faith. But just notice here that there are different levels of faith and different types of faith. In Timothy, Paul says, "The faith that has existed in you, that was first in your grandmother," and he calls it unfeigned or not hypocritical faith. So he again talks to the idea that there are different types of faith. As we grow in faith, the faith changes its forms, how much we trust God changes, and the fear disappears. And that is because also later on, and I will explain in later parts, we go from having faith to growing in faith, hope, and love. And that is actually the intention that God has for us. He actually wants us to be a part of His adoption, and this is why we have to grow in faith. Faith is only the first step, and as we have read before, grace through faith. It's very, very important to understand that, that grace is really the adoption that He's talking about. If you read in Romans 5, you will see where Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So you see, this is quite a different attitude that here is being painted by Paul to Romans from the attitude that we often see in our churches today that walk by fear. So what I like to just draw your attention to from this part, this part one, which I'm going to end very shortly, is that fear and faith are the opposites of the same continuum. Fear is pessimistic. Faith is optimistic. It's forward-looking. It's, you know, building on trust in God. Fear is unbelief based on human ability. It's not pleasing to God, and He's often instructed us not to worry, which we'll talk about that in the next period. On the other hand, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, things that are not seen. It leads to belief and therefore a sense of safety and assurance in God. Now we have to realize that fear comes standard, if you will. It is something that we're born with. However, as we get closer and closer to God, gift from above is the faith. And that faith starts to replace fear. And we'll talk about later where he says perfect love casts out fear. That is also part of this function, which is really faith coming in, opening the door to grace. And we'll talk about that some more. And then the grace actually is that adoption. It's calling and saying Abba Father to our Heavenly Father. And that brings us to a relationship, a love that is perfect, which in turn casts out fear. That is the goal. So if you are going to church and you think that, you know, we have to be humble, we have to be obedient, I agree with you. But that humble and obedient doesn't mean fearful. We are in fact called not to walk in fear, and fear is a sign that we do not know a God or trust Him to provide for us. This is very important to understand because fear is the driving force of law. And many, many Christians today, I would say majority of Christians, follow God in the legalistic sense. Why do I say that? Because their driving force is not love, but it is fear. As long as your driving force is fear, you are in legalism, effectively, one way or another. You get into what the Bible calls the dead works, trying to earn your way through. And we talked about this in the previous parts on grace and the law. And I would encourage you to go to our website and check that some more. That is related to this topic. And that is related to what we're trying to talk about here. Now, in the following few sections and programs, we're going to talk about fear not being a way of God. It's not human humility, but it is rather the power of the Holy Spirit that He wants us to walk in. We'll mention and talk about David and Goliath, how fear is to be overcome by faith, and we are actually ordered by God to do that. We will talk about faith and how it leads to relationship. And then we will touch on the whole idea of a new covenant, which is essentially that relationship we are talking about. And in doing so, we will come back full circle and talk about how love of that relationship, once it becomes perfect, it casts out fear. And we are then left with faith and walking in the fullness of the gospel. So this is the end of part one. I would encourage you to listen to our following program the following week, which will have a part two of this topic. And also it is posted on the internet. So if you're not able to listen to us then, you're welcome to go to truth2wellness.com. That is truth2wellness, no spaces, no numbers. .com and under radio program season 3 you have all of our lessons and lectures that we do that we hope to bring the knowledge and awareness that we gain overseas, especially in some restricted access countries, to our Christians here so that our Christians understand the power and the source of that power that gives those Christians an ability to stand amidst very severe persecution. God bless you all.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wing. Better is one day in your courts. 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 Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.